Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Ken Nice, who's the Director of Agronomy here at Band and Dunes. We're in Southwest Oregon, and what an experience it has been for me to play all six golf courses here for the very first time. I'm so happy that I've gotten out here, Ken, and I have a lot of questions for you, and so impressed with what you and your team have been able to accomplish here. And I know you were involved in the construction of most of the courses here, and they're all so memorable, and what surprised me the most is just how different each course is.
Yeah, I mean, everything, the design principles vary slightly from course to course, and a lot of that is based on just the topography of the courses themselves. So I think what people really see is what the natural features were prior to construction have a great influence on the end product of each of the courses.
So you worked with all the architects, which I just think must have been some remarkable experience, right? I know you came in when Band and Dunes was being built. David McLay Kidd, the Scotsman, designed that one. Then Pacific Dunes was the next one in 2001. Tom Doak, Band and Trails, Bill Core, Ben Crenshaw, built in 2005. Just played that today. Boy, was that challenging. Old MacDonald, where I had an eagle, thank you very much, on the third hole, the par four third. Tom Doak and Jim Urbina designed Old MacDonald, and then Bill Core and Ben Crenshaw came back just recently to do Sheep Ranch. So tell me, what was it like to work with all these different architects?
You know, it's obviously a true blessing to have had the opportunity to work with Tom Doak, Bill Core, Ben Crenshaw, David, Jim Urbina, especially, you know, all these guys. And each one of them has a slightly different take on how they go about their craft. Me as an agronomist, a turf guy, a soil guy, kind of integrating in with some of their design principles. But more than anything, I think been able to be a witness to some of the masters in the modern architecture game. And it's amazing what kind of information, what you glean off of just going through the process with each of them, where you start to kind of see the vision that is there, that kind of unfolds and takes place as the creative process goes on.
And what do you think you learn from them? I mean, they're also different, and they bring different experiences, you know, to golf. What are some of the things you might have learned from some of these architects?
I think probably the greatest thing with Band and Dunes, because the one common link to all the architects at Band and Dunes is working with the natural features, what the land, the character of the land that was presented prior to construction. And all the architects at Band and Dunes work in a kind of a seamless manner in terms of trying to integrate the landscape with the golf versus imposing some strong will on a piece of property that it doesn't fit, you know. So I think just having that kind of that graceful process of integrating into natural features and working with the land and being kind of at harmony with it while at the same time creating these great golf courses in terms of a playability standpoint. Those are, I think, some of the big take-homes. After that, it gets into, you know, a lot of subtleties in terms of shapes and what a good shape looks like versus a bad shape and what fits your eye and what doesn't. You start to become fully aware of that. One thing I should also add, all these architects, as great as they are, they're very willing to, one, solicit input and also to be open-minded to somebody else's take. So it's not a closed-minded process. There is a collaborative point to it. Certainly Mike Kaiser has had a big influence with all the architects. He has put his thumbprint on all these courses from a design standpoint as well. So it's not just the architects, our owner Mark Kaiser, and then the shapers that come in also have a lot of voice to each of the architects. And I think what you see is, you know, with the architects here, with Tom, with Bill, with Ben, with Jim Urbina, David, is that they're kind of the end facilitator of all of this and synthesize it together to create these great processes. But it's very much a learning process and a collaborative process as it goes on through the creation.
Sure, I'm sure it is. And It would have to be, obviously, there's so many different personalities, as you say, involved. And then, as you say, six different courses in harmony with the natural environment. And what a natural environment it is. I mean, from, you know, the dunes to the meadows to the forests. I mean, talk about the property. It's just a dream property.
Well, I think that, and I don't know whether Don or Jeff will allude to it, but, you know, we have a plaque on up by 14T of Bannon Trails. And I don't know if you saw that plaque, but it basically talks about Mike Kaiser's first visit to Bannon Dunes when he first saw the property and Shorty Dow showed him around and all that. But I just think that was the beginning. It was like Mr. Kaiser saw the potential of this property when he first saw it. And so after that, you know, things just kind of start to fall in place, especially with the amazing, talented architects that he then brought in to work with the land.
So talk a little bit about the greens, because I know that you're working with Fescue and you're working with Poa Anna, right? Yeah. And I just thought the greens on Bannon Dunes were absolutely perfect. So, and the greens were a little different on the various golf courses, but talk a little bit about the greens and how challenging it might be to maintain them throughout the various seasons here.
I think that's one of our big challenges, is that we're a 365, you know, day a year open project. And that challenge of just day in and day out golf is a challenge. You know, the winters, although mild here, growth rate still slows down quite a bit, and we continue to have all that golf. So one of the reasons that three of the courses are basically POA annual greens is kind of a direct result of that. You know, when you have such high play volume throughout the year, and we're in kind of a climate where POA transition is pretty much the norm. It thrives in this climate, so. But the Fescue greens hang in there for a long time, and so Old Mac and Sheep Ranch are pure Fescue greens, and they require actually less maintenance than the POA does. So they're a bit more stable in that regard, but over time, then POA starts to take over a bit.
I gotta tell you, the greens were just incredible, and you know, subtle breaks.
Yeah.
A lot of slopes, depending on which course you're playing, and it was just very tricky. I think every course kind of offered those challenging greens, but from a seasonal standpoint, what kind of climate do you get here throughout the various seasons?
It's just very moderate. Rare, you know, we get into the 70s in the summer some, but not in the high 70s, and we really have very few frosts during the winter. So, you know, I did a presentation, and I'll throw out this stat, but our the months here only vary by about 13 degrees in terms of the average highs and lows, you know. So winter versus summer is not hugely different versus some areas of the country where, you know, it's an 80, 90 degree shift between winter and summer. We're more like a 15 degree shift. So it's very moderate, and that's one of the reasons that POA does so well here, and why we can grow POA greens and maintain them the way we do.
What's your biggest challenge as the director of agronomy here at Bannon Dunes?
It always, you know, in the end, it comes down to having a great team of people that you're working with, and so personnel becomes one of the major factors. In a, you know, we have I think close to 115 staff on the agronomy team.
Wow.
Coordinating that over six, seven golf courses, it has its challenges. Also coordinating equipment needs with the various golf courses. So a lot of it's logistics and just relationships with the people that you work with. I'm obviously fortunate that it's an amazing team of people I work with day in, day out, and they all do a marvelous job, and they're a joy to work with.
And what would you say when somebody asks you to talk about links conditions and what makes a true links course, what do you tell them?
I would say the first element is sand. That that all of these Great Links golf courses have one common thread, and that's sandy soils. As they drain well, you can have a lot more of those undulations and contours that, and maybe a heavy soiled situation would hold water. In our case, water passes through. Sand helps keep things firmer. Drier conditions, regardless of what time of year. You know, we don't see mud. If you notice, there's no ball washers on any of the tees. Well, how often did you really have to clean your ball? You really don't. And so, and then I think after sand, then grass varieties become a very big part. Fescue is certainly a main one. And, you know, the fairways here are all fescue. There's very little poa on any of the fairways. And so that low fertility, low growth rate, coupled with sandy conditions, creates ball roll and bounce and being able to play contours. Knowing that you have the aerial option always, just like any other golf course, but you also have this ground option to be able to play off a contour, be able to putt from well off the green. So that's certainly another characteristic of it. The ocean has an element to it, but I think more than anything, it's sand and turf varieties that create that. And then the maintenance style. Kind of rambling here, but you know, we try to keep our fertility really low, and we're trying to basically grow our turf conditions so that they can hold up to foot traffic, hold up to maintenance traffic, but we don't want to encourage excessive growth because that slows down the surface. So you just really want to have a growth rate that's controlled to where you're not growing turf at any higher rate than you need to. So, you know, if you really wanted to fertilize heavy and really push growth rate, you also get slow, soft conditions. The two kind of follow in that direction.
Such a fine line, you know, especially with, you know, whether you get rain or a lot of sun, you know, with the climate. But I'm sure you are being somewhat modest as far as you and your team and all the accolades that you've gotten in the golf world. You know, you've been leaders in water conservation, pollution prevention, waste management, wildlife and habitat conservation. So I congratulate you and your team for getting so many. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, you have to really think about all these different areas.
First of all, Mike Kaiser and the Kaisers, the environmental aspect, being environmental stewards is hugely important to the organization. So we certainly, you know, we're all in on that. It's a huge team effort to do all, you know, habitat enhancement, you know, working with Audubon. And then, you know, environmental management of just monitoring water situations, you know, all that goes into it. But it's a huge team effort, and everybody buys into it. I also think that, again, coming back to Lynx Golf, Lynx Golf is very environmentally sound in the fact that we're really trying to limit our inputs to not apply anything that's excessive. Really want to just apply things at the optimal level and have very little waste involved. So that low growth rate, again, is environmentally sustainable because you eliminate the worry from runoff or leaching or anything excessive in the soil. You're just basically trying to apply fertilizer at a rate where the plant can use what it needs and there's nothing excessive about it.
And I know the logo of Abandoned Preserve is one of a perennial, right, that you're trying to preserve here on these grounds. Talk a little bit about that.
That's Silvery Phacelia, and it's an endangered dune plant. And over the years, when European beech grass was introduced to the area by the Army Corps of Engineers, basically to stabilize the sand drifts on 101, mm-hmm. Well, that it certainly had done a good job of doing that, but at the same time, European beech grass starts to close in all these open sand dunes, and it takes away some of the habitat of plants like Silvery Phacelia that naturally occur in the dunes here. So our mission here is to make sure that the habitat is sustained by eliminating beech grass where we need to, propagating more silvery Phacelia, really trying to kind of get that plant into a more robust population. And it actually, once you give it the habitat that it wants, it starts to do it on its own. It's just a matter of making sure that we keep that habitat in order. And so gorse, European beech grass, some of these exotics that have been brought in over the years certainly hurt the habitat of some of these native dune plants.
And I know proceeds from the preserve, which is the 13-hole par 3 course, which is amazing. I played that the first day I got here. Proceeds from that, for those who play that course, are donated to the Wild Rivers Coast Alliance, which I think is another great initiative, you know, and shows how much Abandoned Dunes and the people here are really trying to, you know, help not only the environment, but the community and various initiatives.
Yeah, it's a great organization. Works on the triple bottom line as the principle, and so it has to have sound economics to the project, community-based, and environmentally sound. So those three elements need to be part of any donations that are made or grants given to our local areas. And it really covers a big region from basically California up to Coos Bay, Coos County, so all the rivers along that stretch.
Are you from this area?
I'm from Corvallis, which is in the middle of the Willamette Valley. It's the home of Oregon State University. So it's about a three and a half hour drive from Bandon to home.
And I understand you also coach high school basketball?
I do. I have 16 seasons at Bandon High School.
Wow.
I coached the girls varsity for 6 years, the boys varsity for 7 years, and then I resigned because the Sheep Ranch we were under construction and I was the project manager and it was just too much. And then after 2 years of a break, our director of caddy services, Vince Quattrocci, who was the JV coach with me, he got the head job, and so the old assistant and I, who also happens to be the town barber, we came back to help Vince. So I got to be an assistant and kind of work in practices, develop players, and we had a good season the first year back. So we got to the state tournament again, and so. It was a successful year coming back, but it was nice not being the head coach. We didn't have a lot of the other little extraneous stuff. Just got the coach.
Wow, multi-talented, multi-dimensional. You're project managing, you know, the build of Sheep Ranch, which opened in the summer, June 2020, and you're coaching these high school kids. I just love that story. So, what was it like being at the forefront of the latest opening here, Sheep Ranch?
It was a special, you know, the opportunity to work with Bill Kaur, Ben Crenshaw, Mike Kaiser, Phil Friedman in that capacity in a real involved day-to-day way. Tremendous gift. So, I mean, other than being thankful and saying that it was an amazing process and very proud of the end result, and then obviously just the opportunity to spend that kind of quality time with such good people for 2 years developing the project, that's probably what it comes down to. You know, it's the relationships that you take away from those kinds of things.
Sure, I'm sure you went through, you know, ups and downs and just a tremendous amount of work. And you're talking about just a mile of ocean frontage for the Sheep Ranch course itself with 9 green sites on the ocean. Just unbelievable. You don't get that in Ireland. You don't get that in Scotland where you think you would get it because so many links courses, you know, the birthplace of golf in Scotland and so many links courses right on the water in the UK. And yet here in the United States is where you come to get that many holes on the ocean front.
Yeah, the routing at the Sheep Ranch, I mean, I got the opportunity to kind of watch that process, and really Bill Kaur wandered around that property for 3-4 days just kind of on his own, you know, wandering in every direction, and then all of a sudden he comes up with some, I think I got a pretty good idea, you know, on the routing, and so really it starts from that initial routing and how. One, it's not a real big property, and at the same time, it feels big when you're playing it.
Yeah.
And part of that was, you know, we have these consolidated tees. So a lot of that tee space is consolidated, and it opens up these angles to big fairways. So you'd never know it was that small of a footprint. And then his ability to get all those greens on the ocean was amazing. So I think there's a brilliance to the routing that started it all, and then obviously after that, the construction and the shaping and the character of the place.
Ken, thank you so much. This has been really enlightening, and it's just a pleasure to get to know you. And now that I've played these golf courses, just it's just been wonderful to kind of pick your brain about some of the agronomy subjects that go hand in hand with all the courses here. Really have enjoyed my experience, Ken, and continued success.